Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. I have a special guest next to me. We can't wait to discuss a few things. Stay tuned for Stranded with $1 Million, Episode 3.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Is this song about you? Are you going to let us know? Are you going to let us know today?
I have a feeling.
I have a feeling you're one of the survivors. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to listen to Beyonce. Roar a little. Thank you. There we go.
Yes. I used to sing this song when I broke up with my boyfriend.
Oh, God. How old were you?
Like last year.
She's like, actually last night. Okay, enough about you. Let's talk some more about Stranded with $1 Million. I'm Abigail Frere, and you can follow me on all my social media at Abigail Frere. We have a special guest in the house tonight. Yeah. One of the cast members of Stranded with $1 Million. You know her as Makani Nalu. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm honored to be here.
Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yes, I'm Makani Nalu at Makani Me on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. And I'm Olivia Gabri. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, The Real OG.
And it's Jesse D'Angelo here. Guys, you can find me everywhere at Jesse J. D'Angelo. Jesse J. D'Angelo.
That's my name. All right, guys. So we start episode 3, 8 days in, $65,000.
Oh, man.
In the bucket.
In the hole.
The beginning of the episode, okay, so I was not obviously here last week, so I wish I had a...
Yeah, we got the memo.
Right.
We got the memo.
No, it's like, did you see the end of the...
I rewatched episode 2 twice, once when it came out and then once last night because I wanted to be like, you know...
Fresh.
Rolling. And I wish I had a camera on me when I was watching it because I was lit. Like, it was a lot... I think every episode is getting better and better and you're finding out more about everyone's character. And honestly, I think with episode 1 and 2, I was kind of like, you know, this isn't the challenge. I know it's not supposed to be the challenge, but I thought of it as more of a PG version. Mm-hmm. However, I know it's reaching out a different demographic.
Right.
Yet, I feel like it's going to turn up a lot in the next coming episodes.
It's starting to amp up. Yeah.
And I think it's creating a very big divide with the viewers, which I think we saw a little bit in this episode. And I think we'll obviously discuss it later. But I was shocked because I felt Cody kind of went against his normal personification and was trying to bring people together in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we opened on him and Alex trying to work together.
And using his alpha male qualities to kind of stir the pot like the episode is called, but actually to kind of be like, you know what, let's put everything aside. We got to get to this next camp because bottom line's the money.
Right. And I think he realizes, you know, he's not in the majority. And he's like, okay, I have my three... team over here, but let me talk to the majority and try to get something logical to happen.
You know, and that's a good point I didn't even think about, is that he was super cocky episode 1, but that's before we had a huge divide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think now he is noticing, like, if there's, like, two or three of us and then there's everybody else, so I need to watch myself. I don't think he's very good at maybe taming certain qualities, but I think that he's definitely handling it differently than he did episode 1.
So I think you would go in there with the mentality, like, I'm going to do for me and make it to the end. But obviously, as it progresses, you realize that there can be some good things that come along with having numbers on your side.
It's strategy. If he wanted to vote on anything, he would be 100% alone because it's everybody's vote versus his. You know what I mean? So it's in his best interest to have people on his side, or at least in agreement with him.
Have some sort of a compromise.
Yeah.
So you guys travel to your next camp, and you go through a swamp, and...
The journeys were epic.
Like, that hill, grass hill, I mean, that was not even a hill. What do you call that? You guys were in a freaking
That was more
valley.
Than a hill.
I mean, it was at, like,
that was
an
like
angle.
The part where I would forget about the fact that I'm hungry or everything, and I would I love hiking. Like, I would just be so into it.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm used to the ridge at Runyon, but that was, like, another
Wait, but my question is, how do you guys know the path to take? Is it on the tablet or is
yeah,
there a map?
We would use, I mean, the tablet was pretty well marked with landmarks along the way.
Rocks.
So
like, I know.
Big rock number there, one, yeah. Big rock number
Were there times where like you GPS? Would get lost or?
I mean, there were times that it got a little bit ambiguous, but then we would see, you know, okay, way up ahead, you could see something. So we just gotta, you know, obviously we're in the wilderness. There's not a little yellow brick road for us to follow. Right. But, you know, we could see where we're supposed to get, and you could look at larger surroundings.
Right.
The map was usually pretty good.
Would you say the trek this episode was worse than the first one you took?
I'm trying to remember.
Yo, the first
I
one
mean,
though
it
had
was,
that mud, though, that ridiculous mud.
The mud, yeah, the mud was bad. That was Swallowed. The most epic
Just between
part of
your
that.
Toes and your shoes, that's all I was thinking when you guys were going through the mud. I was like, I hate sand in my shoes. I can't even imagine.
Like, yeah, it was like quicksand. You get stuck in it. But this one, I think that big hill that we kind of watched was the climax of this.
Literally.
And yeah, I mean, because people were falling down it, and it was very steep, and there was even a moment at the top, I remember. There was a photo of it too. Alex took my hand and pulled me up the rest of it. And I was like, wow, that's my enemy. But, you know, at this point, you know, he's just spent all, and we're not on the same team. But, you know, people realize, well, I'm not getting the money unless everybody
Everyone
gets there.
It.
And she's obviously not quitting. So let's get, you know, there were times where it's like, wow, there's tension. But you all have the same goal.
Yeah, during the journey, it's like you have to come together.
And it's such a fine line of team and singular. And I think that's where Alex helped you because everyone knows who has it in them and who doesn't. And we'll get into that a little later with the mindset. But he knows he's got to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, Cody knows that those people are going to probably call.
Right.
And he's very good. It's honestly, I don't even... It's not even necessarily manipulation. It's the way he says things to people. It's very dominating, but in a way of like, you know, you don't want to slow us down. You don't want to slow the team. Like you might want to quit. Like you should quit. It's not even you might want to. It's just it's you should. But dude, it wouldn't work on me. But it works on people.
Oh goodness,
it's a certain type of person. It works on, and it is. And it's as much as he drove me nuts.
He is calculated
to a T, and he knows what the fuck he wants. Like he knows. Like it is like that is what's gonna happen.
Well, my question is when he, you know, when you first got into the fight, not a fight, but you know, you weren't getting along with the other team,
right.
And Cody approached you, and you know, the things that he was saying to you from an outsider's point of view, I was kind of like this phony mother-effer.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And what was going through your head at that point? Were you on to him, or were you just kind of feeling so down that it was nice to be?
I mean,
acknowledge.
Yes.
At that point, I had, you know, removed myself. I'd isolated myself. And I was like, man, you know, I don't agree with what my initial team is doing. So I just took myself out. And numbers-wise, that's not smart at all. But, hey, morality-wise, I was having a moment. I was like, this is really messed up. What's going on here? I don't want to be a part of it. So he comes over to talk to me. And, you know, I'm just, you know, like, we're just having a conversation. And obviously... I just acknowledge the fact that he was the only one who came over to talk to me. Regardless of his intentions, you know, we had a conversation. He was like, I hate to see you so upset about this. You know, it could have been fake, maybe not. At the next camp, I still felt pretty alone. You know, I felt isolated. I didn't really feel like I belonged with either group necessarily because I didn't start with the other two. But you know, they were minimalists and he didn't want to buy anything. So I'm like, hey... He reminds me of Donald Trump. I'm more of a Bernie Sanders, but we have the same mentality. You know what I mean?
That's a good way to put
but
it.
But when it comes to survival,
you
we have
the same,
same
goal.
So, hey, we're friends. In this setting, that's going to be the person I stick with.
It's it's character development along with plot development. Like any other thing you see, you're learning more. You're getting to know everybody more, and opinions are kind of changing. However, I did find it funny because I think it was episode 2, you got when you went and were in the river by yourself, and you were so upset that there was all this manipulation and games, and but then we see
and
you taking
like,
the
you
food,
know
and I wrote out, I go, is that you growing or digressing? And I like it. I was like, this girl who, because when I was watching it, I was watching it with my boyfriend, and we were sitting there, and I was like,
she's so weak. Why is she crying?
No, I understood it, but at the same time, I was like,
like, oh my
girl,
God.
Like, go
get
and
over
be
it.
Heard.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we're like
be
trying
heard.
To clap.
And then I see this episode, you're like, fuck it, I'm
yeah, next episode. And I was like, okay.
I thrive on that. I thrive on, like, not even that you're the underdog, but you're someone who is being treated some type of way, and then you end up being like, you know what?
Yeah,
like, give it to you again.
Lay a little something back.
I was going to ask if, you know, because you seem very, like, passive in your demeanor on the island. You're not someone who's been starting anything in the first, you know what I mean?
Not yet.
I would imagine that, you know, feeling this animosity from the other alliance or whatever you want to call them, did that sort of drive you to maybe take the food or, like, see a different side in yourself that you normally wouldn't? You know, you're on this island
alone. I mean, in 11 days without eating, I can't, I'm a heinous person sometimes when I've eaten.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just 1 second.
The pettiness, man, that level just, like, quadruples.
Well, that's
when you have
the
eaten.
Thing. Like, at the beginning, I felt like I came in with this attitude, hey, like, let's work together.
Centered.
I've worked on farms. Right. Let's do this. I'm Buddhist. And quickly, I heard them talking in a different way. You know, let's get people out. Let's, you know, and I was like, ooh, like, that's what upset me. I was like, yikes. I was cringing. But at the same time, I gave that opportunity to play, you know, working together. And as soon as they say, you know, they're going to work against me in order to win, I can play dirty better than they can. So if they want to take it there,
oh my God,
okay,
love this
like, you know what I mean? They're in for it now because they just open a can of worms they don't even know what I'm about to do with.
Well, and then that is kind of this, it's a, you have a very similar mentality to Cody. It's just handled in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think yours is more appealing to a viewer, I think a larger audience of viewers. I think he has a very targeted audience with the way he does things on the show. Mm-hmm. And when you know, we're picking at Elish or... No, it was... But
yeah, I couldn't help myself. Certain, it wasn't a very Buddhist moment, but...
It wasn't.
But it was
a lot of, but you know what? At the end of the day, like... That makes good TV.
And she was just being such a little princess. Yeah. I was like, we are on an island here. Like, what more do we need to buy for you people?
Right, and you're so annoyed at them spending all... Like, that's your money that they're spending that you're not reaping any benefits from.
Yeah.
How did you... I wanted to ask you this, too. How did you feel... I mean, I guess we can just jump to Alonzo turning down the temptation.
Right.
I know you weren't... You guys
I was
aren't,
impressed.
You know, friends, necessarily, but... How did you feel in retrospect, then also looking back and seeing Cody's the one who didn't want to spend money, yet he still spent the $15,000 after he gave Gina a hard time and spent the... You know, he is the antagonist of the show.
Right.
Every show needs one.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I think the antagonist most likely gets more attention than anybody else.
He's a good villain.
Because,
he does it well.
And he's fulfilling that character very well.
Yeah.
In real life, too.
Yeah. But what...
Right.
But,
oh my God!
I'm gonna sip some tea on that one.
Oh, I mean, he loves
but
it.
What was? Yeah, he does love it. Yeah, he thrives on it. But what did you? How did you feel when he spent that money and then Alonzo didn't spend the money? Like, what are your emotions going through that? Because I feel like I would be so emotional.
I mean, Cody, when he was with Chris, you know, that was pretty obvious. It was for Chris's outfit, and you know, I kind of felt like, yikes! I've already heard. I felt like if I hear anyone saying they're thinking about leaving, they're going to do it regardless. They're
going
to do it at some point. So to hear him thinking about it beforehand, and then he even said, it's not like the clothes, it's a mentality thing. The clothes don't make a difference.
I have that.
So that's what kind of upset me is I'm like, yikes, he said he's going to leave before that temptation, regardless of whether they take it.
Yep.
He's still going to feel that way at some point, and that's going to come back. And Alonzo said that before his temptation. So I actually, you know, I will acknowledge that they had said if they could bring it back to share with their other teammates, they would have maybe felt differently.
But you know, it wouldn't have been to share with you.
Of course not.
It would have been to share with the other
with the
teammates.
Two, yeah.
Well,
because,
and I'm trying to, logically, I feel like this doesn't make sense because it's everybody's money, you know? So when they're buying the supplies, like the tent and the... You know, the food and the peanut butter, whatever.
It's super controversial.
It's, yeah, because, you know, yeah, I voted against it, but if it's still, majority still rules and it's still my money, shouldn't you have the benefit of it?
And right. That's where everyone, I think that's where fights start, I think, not fights, but just, you know, conversation starts across the country when people are watching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's the thing, like, Alex's group has been protagonized if Cody's the...
Right.
The,
right.
Yeah. And... And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, if they're the good guys,
why are they being so bad? But they're making
these moral decisions, you know, something that are debatable.
It's like, almost, if I knew that I was outnumbered, I would have probably just pretended that I agreed with them just for the fact that I could have.
But it comes down to, like, it comes down to your integrity maybe a little bit. I mean, but on the island, it's like all
bets
are off.
Bottom line is what it should be is it's everyone's money. I think that it's stupid to spend it on this, but if you guys are going to overpower me in spending it, then we're all going to partake in it.
Right.
The whole, like, we voted for it. Well, what the what does that even mean? Okay, so you voted for it, but you're still taking, like, if you notice, they divide the money between everyone in the opening. Like, y'all had 9,000 and some odd dollars when it opened. So, what do you mean, Alex? That, like, and he just gets his, like,
very little, political.
And,
very
but political he gets guy. Uncomfortable, and you can see, no, he's not even, I don't even think he's political. I think he's unintelligible sometimes when
I like Alex.
I'm not saying I don't like him as a person. I'm not saying I don't maybe maybe his demeanor, but I feel like as a strong minded alpha personality, I think that he's trying to be this alpha and he's being petty as hell. And he's like, well, we have a tent, so it doesn't matter. Like, okay.
But
so it's the tables are going to turn real quick when he gets outnumbered.
I just want to say a couple
things. And
then
he's going to cry about it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying when he was saying, oh, well, because, you know, you asked, well, then are we all going to get to sleep in the tent? And he was like, kind of no. But you need to understand that was more directed towards Cody. And if Cody was speaking to me that way, too, I would probably come back with some petty shit,
no,
too.
I would have done some petty
shit. If it was just Makani and somebody else, I probably would have been like, yeah, you know, it's all our money. But when Cody's speaking the way he does
so
to somebody, then that gets you riled up. And you're like, you can't sleep in the tent.
Right.
You can't sleep in the tent.
Whether it's rational or not, that's like, it's like, that's the only control they have over Cody.
Well, that's why he's using
it. It's like, what do you do when all you have is a tent? That's all you have to punish someone is like, you don't get in the tent. Okay.
And second of all, I would like to say...
But again, that's where their minds come into play. And that's where his mind is so much stronger. If you notice, even the conversations that are being had between the two groups are so opposite of each other. You have you guys talking, and it's very much like...
Strategy.
You know, and I don't think Chris was an alpha. I don't think your personality is an alpha personality either. I think that you love nature. I think that you're very comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think your surroundings, you were a lot more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But you and Cody both had the same end game, but with different reasons.
Right.
And I think Chris just fit somewhere
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
But your conversations were all like, well, how are we going to do this?
Right.
What's the plan? And there's our, oh, like, back home
Pancakes, and
cheese on this. And I miss this. And my PTSD. And, like, PTSD is a real thing. It's a real thing. I'm not discrediting that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting there thinking about home and bringing up things about home, it's like, how is that going to get you to the end game?
Yeah,
you need to not be thinking about home because you're uncomfortable as hell.
That's why it's all mental.
And that's why,
it's like you're
sitting
there with literally nothing but your thoughts.
And I think that's why they all stick together so tightly because, honestly, I mean, it's Darwinism.
It breeds off of each other.
Survival of the fittest. Right. Like, y'all ain't fit if you don't have the tent. Like, you're not going to do well. They would have never lasted in this storm. Right. And it disgusted me when Chris came to say goodbye. How
and
they were
she,
like, oh, nice to meet. Like,
yeah.
They
wouldn't get out.
She's like, ooh, I can't,
but
ooh,
they,
can't go in the rainbow.
It's just like,
oh my God.
Constant struggle in my brain because they pretend like they're for the team and they pretend like they're this like team, but
they're for their team
within each other. But
I just
Chris
don't
helped
think
them
they
start
know
a fire.
Any better. It's very Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
Do you know?
Sorry,
what I
I'm
would
just
do?
On my monologue rampage.
No, I know. I totally get it. That's why I was the crosstalk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would have done if I was you guys? And again, this would have been so petty, but. I would have been like, if we're not going to take turns in that tent, I'm going to take something sharp
machete.
And knock that crap down.
And I would actually have done it.
If I'm not sleeping in it either way.
We wanted
you
to.
You just poke a hole in the top.
Oh,
already
my God.
Machete that.
But
yeah,
what? Why didn't you?
Well, we wanted to just, that's obviously the first thing. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. Let me get rid of this, like, thing that's not keeping the playing field right. But we weren't allowed to take a machete and chop their tent while they're in it.
So
there was this, like, guarding the tent thing going on. Because obviously, if no one was at the tent, we would have just chucked it or got rid of it.
Right.
Destroyed it, lit it in flames, whatever, because...
I would have, like, cut it in
totally
pieces
ridiculous.
Be like, you get this foot-by-2-foot piece. You get... And then, but also, too, with the tarp. That was seriously such a petty, petty thing to do. And then to order peanut butter?
Instead of... And the flash-by happened... because the storm was coming in. It was always ironic, you know, the temptation goes to the person most temptable. They didn't take the temptation. Yeah. Right. So here flies in another opportunity to spend money. And obviously the numbers.
And that's why they did it.
Yeah. Are for them. So what's right. the point in them buying a tarp for us?
Well, they don't and help, you know, again, you know? That is part of the game.
Right.
So they are playing. They are playing. They're not right. playing in a way that we like or that I like, or I don't know what you guys like and don't like, but they're it's playing. Not,
Jesse and I probably would have been in the tent.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, if you know.
But again, like, I feel like I relate just on...
Because I would have lied.
And the both of us are like, yeah, peanut butter.
That's I know, Olivia's like, I would have got the peanut butter, but I feel like I relate with Cody on not the way he necessarily treats people, but on a level of... It's like, you are going to take my tarp, and you're going to... Well, then I'm going to show you 10 times more. Like, my willpower to just screw somebody over is so much stronger than rain on me. Because I yeah. want to literally watch your face when I defeat you. Like, you know? So I feel that. I get him on that level.
Strategy-wise, I totally get some of the aspects from where well, Cody's coming from.
Well, it became like slaves and masters, kind of. And I said that in that time frame at that camp.
They're like rationing the peanut like, butter?
What's going on here? You know, you're spending our money and then keeping it for yourselves and watching us suffer, watching this guy flare mm-hmm. out, shaking his hand as he goes rather than, you know, like doing anything, like giving him a little like part of your tent to cover himself in.
Well, it's like so, you guys have been in the rain for 11 days now without a tent and you can't be bothered to come up to say bye to this guy. Nice to meet
were
you.
Were there right. times in that period where you felt like giving up?
No, I mean, and that's the thing that I, like I said, I think distinguishes, you know, who's really going to last in mm-hmm. this game is when I heard, you know, you hear Gina talking about it. You hear Michael talking about it, Alonzo. And whenever I would hear that in the back of my head, I'm kind of knowing.
You're like locking
some point,
it.
They're going to go.
If you voice it, the second you voice your thought,
you
it's going
to
put it in the
manifest. Yeah.
And so, I feel like every time you heard someone say they want to leave, did that like make you that much stronger? Of like, yeah, I'm going to stick this out. Like, I'm not going to be like you.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a wow factor because for me, there was no question. There was absolutely, it was like
and that's
absolute
the attitude
thing.
You need.
I mean, yeah.
What was like the toughest only... point for you, though? I mean, it couldn't have all been cake
it,
and...
No, I mean, it was, you know? I'm not saying that at all. I mean, definitely, you know, in this episode, under that shelter, when, you know, that storm comes... And that was a really tough night. That was one of the tougher ones.
You didn't even want to get up. You were just like,
what did it feel like? Like, paint us a picture.
I mean, so it's the middle of the night. We can tell the shelter. Like, we have one more night at this camp. The shelter's kind of starting to. There's this one log that's just moving a little bit, and we're like, oh, it'll like last until the morning. And it's slowly just moving a little bit, but we're afraid to touch it because mm-hmm. we don't want to make it all fall. So finally, we're all under there, and all these logs and everything just is on top of us. And, you know, I try not to be claustrophobic. I can't really move. But at the same time, I don't really want to move because out there it's even colder. So, like, it was just one of those moments. And they got out of it, but I'm like, let me just stay here until the sun comes up. And that was a long night, but I'm just thinking in my head, this will pass. You know, mm-hmm. that's a Buddhist mantra, you know, this too shall pass. And that's something I thought throughout all those days. That's what got me through my time there was yeah. just thinking, you know, this too shall pass. And it's only however many soul more days. And it was very pure. There was a very beautiful thing about it in a way I would rather, you know, I miss it. And in a way, I'm like, wow, like I wish I was on that island. In some ways, you know, in a
away
lot of
from
ways.
This chaos and
crap. Yeah, I would rather yeah. survive something pure and harsh in that way than, you know, the really tainted ways this society is hard to survive. You know, I prefer that type of survival. I really do. So that's why yeah. I was in my element out there, even though it was hard and we were hungry.
Right.
But, that's just my two cents.
No, I think that. I think that's really. I think we.
That's how I did it.
The
again,
show I think
know?
Portrays you very well. I think from what I've seen.
Do you like your edit so far?
How do you feel? About
I do.
It?
Yeah. I mean, it was. It's funny. You know, it's weird to watch yourself, but I was in my element out there, and I'm also proud that I am in the minority group. You know, I'm really glad that I didn't stick with those guys, because, you know, I could have, but when I kind of singled myself out, I'm really proud of that moment where I was like, hey, I would rather stand alone and get to the end of this in a way I can respect and be proud of and know that's me, and right. watch that and know I feel good about how I did that. I wouldn't want to get to the end in the way that they did. I really, and that's why I didn't go there. Because right. I wouldn't want
to
do that.
Because if you can make it to the end and get that money and stand true and like yeah, your character,
then that's a win-win. The only way to do it is with integrity. If you yeah. leave, if you, and that's why there's some of the people who left were like, you know what, I don't regret it because I had integrity. And that's what it is. If you win, but you lose all your integrity in doing so, then what do you really win? You
know? Right.
You lost.
Do you feel like the show is an honest portrayal of you and the other characters? Because we all always talk about the power of editing.
Yeah.
And we can't really tell if, you know, if this person really is a jerk or the show just makes them look like a jerk. Is this person really nice or yeah. is the show just painting us that picture?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely realized when I was out there that they were protagonizing Alex. And, you know, he's the journalist, reporter guy. He's very, you know, well-worded sometimes. Kind of like serpent-like with his words, yeah, I felt as yeah. though. Mm-hmm. And that bothered me. But, you know, it's all based off of what was there. It's all based off of reality. Everybody's playing themselves. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they take certain moments and they show those moments that they were found most dramatic. But everybody's playing themselves, you know? Yeah. So that's what it is. I mean, obviously, it's amped up a little bit more. But Cody really is a character, you know? I think people love him or they hate him. And Alex, you know, it's more or less accurate, you know, and that's part of what makes it so hard to watch and deal with. It's like people are really reacting to me. That's really me. I'm right. not pretending to be some other girl, you know, uh-huh. and that's like with my accent, too. Like, you know, that's something I get insecure about, because it's like, yikes, like I know that there's things about me that change, and I try and I'm like, hey, that's just something that I picked up along the road. That's kind of weird, but you know, like, that's a part of me.
And so your accent, what is your accent?
It's just, I think it's come from just romanticizing different cultures and just going to different countries and kind of picking up this or picking up that. And also going to different countries and learning that the second I would say I'm American, mm-hmm. people hate
it. It wasn't.
And I would never pretend to be American. I would always, you know, be like, yikes, okay, so I can't say I'm that because then I'm the enemy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, right, and then I would start to pretend to be other things. And, you know, also doing acting out here, I got a little caught up in that. So it's nice for me to just kind of come back to myself and be like, well, I've taken on all these different people, but then there's, you know, then there's me. And
right.
that's kind of what I'm, you know, what I bring and stuff. But obviously there's all those other experiences caught up in
it. Yeah.
I got
Can't
you.
Shake those. They're part of you, you know?
Yeah, but
What would you change? Is there anything you would change about your portrayal or your experience there now, kind of reliving it through watching yourself?
So what would I change? I mean, I not too many regrets. I feel really good about the way I did things. I mean, I wish that the other people out there had a more minimalistic outlook. I think it speaks on, you know, the instant gratification of our society, that they just want to, whatever we can do to make this time better for ourselves. Easier, they're right. not thinking about the future. That's something that speaks to, you know, the culture of today and that age, you know, our age group.
It's just like, how many...
But I would change the, you know, like, I hope if they cast another season,
yeah.
they cast more minimalists. They cast more people who want to end up with a million at the end, right. whether it's for themselves
or Because how many jars of peanut butter could you buy with $3,000, like, later?
Right.
Like, just get through the 40 days. Exactly. Have a bang and bond. After yeah. the 40 days, like, go on, buy your peanut butter, like.
But the thing is, if they cast it completely full of minimalists, it'll just be 10 people making it till the end.
Yeah.
But it would be mixed emotions of, are they going to try and get that million for themselves?
Right.
Or
try and get other people
are
out?
Are they going to be willing to work?
Because you notice, and that yeah. was that's a good point. You notice when Chris was saying, like, I think I'm going to leave. I think, you know, Cody really, he really took Chris under his wing,
mm-hmm.
I think. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. when he knew for sure that Chris was, like, out of it, He's like, go. Like, not go, but he didn't stop him. He wasn't like, I support you. Never heard him say, no, bro, you are going to stay, and we are going to handle this. Because you know what? At the end of the day, it is a competition, and if he's out, you get more money.
And that's something I always thought. I was like, you know what? After Chris left, I mean, you'll see it later on, but I'm like, hey, it's good that Cody and I, different as we are, have a common enemy here. Because if it wasn't for them, I'm pretty sure that Cody is going to turn to me. To like, okay, now you're the only one left.
But I feel like you also have this your guys' relationship's very unique. I think it's this understood, we're competing against each other, but we're going to help each other out until this situation's over. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a unique relationship that you didn't really see between any other members. Because I think the other four, like, they really want to end up together at the end of this.
Yeah,
like,
in a weird way.
Yeah.
In a very weird way.
I'm just curious, what was the casting situation like? Like, how did you get reeled into this TV show?
I just watched your casting video today. I didn't realize they were out there.
Oh, really?
When I knew you were coming in, I watched it today, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I had been approached for other things that were more, you know, in a house, reality-y, dating-y, like, dating naked or something. Other
people
things.
Would contact you?
Yeah, and I wasn't into that, though. You know what I mean? Like, but I wasn't into it. But when I got this casting call, I was like, that's what I do anyway. You know, I go and I live off the land in places. And, you know, I worked for a period of time from sunrise till sunset for a roof over my head on farms, like in different countries and states. And that prepared me a lot for this type of thing. So it's something I feel passionate about. And, you know, when I got the message from the director and got that casting call, I followed through with it, and, you know, I followed through all the way, I think, because...
How much information did they give you from the beginning?
They did not give much. I mean, I didn't even know where we were going until I saw the flight ticket with the island, and I couldn't even pronounce the name of the island. Yeah. Like, you know, they did not give much.
We couldn't either.
But, you know, I'm thinking, okay... MTV, it's probably going to be somewhere tropical. We're probably not going to be in the Arctic.
I saw it because you had your bathing suit. Nobody else had a bathing suit.
Yeah, I think Eilish did.
Did she? I haven't seen anybody else in a bathing suit yet.
Yeah.
So you were thinking that through a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Were you living out here when you were casted?
I was in Venice at the time, actually, yeah. And, yeah, that's where I am currently. But, yeah, it's kind of my hopping spot between travels. But it was perfect. Like, I would do that type of stuff on my own, so they kind of, let me film it. And I was like, cool, that's like representing the type of thing I'm into.
Yeah.
Now, this duffel bag that you guys bought, why couldn't you put the money in the tent when you took the metal out of the tent and carried it over your shoulder as a bag?
Mm-hmm. That's valid.
But
there was too much money for. I mean, yeah, I guess if you kind of
made
one
the tent
into a like
you just
poncho,
do like a Santa
rucksack,
type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, that was bothering me like the whole episode. Well, I'm like, you have a little bag.
You thought of that, but even your team, who are the minimalists, at least Cody was down for the duffel bag.
I mean, because you have to, because also the money was disintegrating when it rained.
He initiated the vote. He was like, duffel bag.
Yeah, I mean,
was it real? Was it real money? Or was it fake? I'm sorry, you're not.
I don't know.
You know what? You can take a sip. I'll take a sip of my drink for you.
Of course it was real money.
Of course, because I'm like, it's disintegrating, like, you know.
Well, when you guys were taking that journey,
any
I was like,
money
what if
any money would, but I'm saying, like... We didn't get, you know, that's taken out. So if there was money there that we didn't spend, but it got destroyed in the rain, then that's still money that we spent, that we lost, you know? So the duffel bag was really like, okay, let's keep our money together and actually take care of it.
It's basically like insurance that you can keep the rest of the money safe. Right.
It's not in hundreds, it's not in... checks. Damn. it's a lot and it's heavy, so we're like, all right, this is an investment, so we actually have something that we're working for here.
Plus the second journey, you know, you have to go through a river, and I was the whole time like, what if the money were to have fallen out? And I'm assuming that the journeys are just going to get worse, so it really is a good investment, to be honest. This is a random question, but were there any hookups at all, or like any love interests? Because I'm not trying to make it like
I feel like no one's really like a love match.
I know,
right? I mean,
you're like, actually,
because I'm like, there's rain, like you're lonely. I'm like, that would be the first thing.
I mean, Eilish is the mom. Certain people had, like, you know, people back home or whatnot. But also, that was kind of the last thing on everybody's mind. And everybody was so disgusting that it doesn't really cross
your mind. I literally have, how hairy were your legs?
Yeah, I mean.
Because I shave my legs every day because I cannot handle
That's funny.
Hair growth.
I've actually not been shaving in honor of, like, just being one with the eyelid. Well, yeah, you're a girl anyway. Yeah, but,
But, like, was everyone super hairy and, like, like, your breath, that's the other thing. Your breath had to have been ratchet.
And, like, yeah, but we, because we all are in the same boat, I think it's more, like, other outsiders that might have been able to tell, right. But we're all covered in mud. We're, you know, we smell bad. We're disgusting, but we're all.
Didn't brush your teeth for 40 days.
There were certain things, like certain leaves and certain things to chew on that would kind of
Thank
help.
God, because
did they give you a booklet for these things, or was this all stuff you just had to know out?
Yeah, what you came in with is what you is had. A lot. Okay. Yeah, it was knowledge everything. Included.
So, like,
yeah.
When they found those rooted. Root things.
Kielbasa?
Nobody told him what they were. He just knew that that's what it was.
Yeah, there were a couple roots that were edible, but if you did not cook it, it would totally make your mouth, like, raw and itchy, and it would destroy it. So if you didn't cook the root...
But was there someone there to tell you
got
that?
You. I experienced it. A couple other people did when we tried to eat the root, and it was not happening. Yeah.
Okay.
The type of thing where you just want Nutella or something to, like, neutralize it,
That peanut butter!
Did
you guys eat the peanut butter all in that one sitting?
Well, the controversial thing about that was they gave us, like, little scoops or whatever.
But then they had the
jar. They had the jar. So they had the power to ration it for themselves. Yeah. Whereas, okay, we got what we got in that moment.
So, how do you feel about the fact that they wouldn't share their tent, they wouldn't share their tarp, and then you take this food that they had cooked separate, they weren't even cooking with you guys. Chris helped them start the fire.
Get some food.
You know, and again, this is all, I'm not personally attacking anybody. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm commenting on their character in the show. Mm-hmm. Not their personal character, and I just want everyone to understand that. But you see Chris helping make a fire.
Right. He wants some food.
And, you know, and they're trying to still say, like, that, you know, it's awkward. Da, da, da. But it's like he's still going over that issue that he has with everybody to create a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have these people hoarding this pot and this food mm-hmm. and then losing it when you take it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Chris helped make it. Just, like, they have the tarp and the tent because of money that you technically mm-hmm. own as well. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like kind of a clusterfuck of a situation.
Yeah.
And did anyone ever explain that? Like, was there ever a sit-down where they understood where you guys were coming from? Or was it all very much like a bull
I mean, well, situation? There, you know, I was like, hey, can we get the pot when you're done to cook our roots over here? And, you know, they kind
of... And that's a waste of fire, too.
Yeah. Yeah, to build our own separate fire. Yeah. So, you know, and they, you know, kind of had the pot all day, and then they went down to the stream, and the pot was sitting up there, and I'm just waiting, you know, so I go over, and I'm like, hey, there's still food in the pot, but it's been all day. They already ate. They had the opportunity to take it out of the
pot.
They
knew you were waiting to cook.
Somewhere else, you know, in their tent or save it for later.
Right.
But I'm going to take the pot now. And if there's food in it, I'm going to take the food too.
Right.
And so, you know, and, it, like, I'm surviving. Everybody's hungry. So that's not something I'm really like, oh, let me take the food out for the people who are currently sleeping in a tent that I paid for.
That's
and
so
like,
true.
Right. You know, like, I don't owe you... Anything. If anything, yeah, they definitely deserve
I would have done the
a
same
lot more
Absolutely.
Than that. So
I can't wait to hear the other side.
Oh my god. I know. Now we have the protagonist.
No, it's really it's very helpful. And I think that I sympathize with your guys' side. So I would like to hear why people are coming from that angle and all those situations. But so what are you doing now? What's going on in your life now?
Good question. So right now I'm in Venice. I'm making music, writing.
What kind of music do you do?
I play ukulele. And
I could totally. Love I was
it.
Literally about to say something
I
like that.
Got it.
That's crazy.
Oh,
I'm a peace loving person. But yeah, I sing at nightclubs. That's kind of where my paycheck to paycheck thing comes from. And this
love
is
it.
I
what
write.
You got there?
This is my first book that
is this
I published.
You?
For all of our audio listeners, Makani has her book.
Sorry.
It's for all of our audio listeners, Makani has her book with her. It's called Dropout.
And it's Natalie Paul. Explain that again, too.
My pen name also my birth name. I hadn't changed my name at this point. I wrote about 5 years ago. Just kind of about my journey. It's about how I left school pretty young and started working and traveling. And it's really shaped who I am and my path. And it was you know, a really powerful decision for me. And I got more so of a global education than the standard one that you would get in America. So it led me to this, you know, at some point along the road. And so I'm a writer and
love it.
Yeah, this is just one of those things to write about. And
did you ever go back and finish school or get your GED?
I got my GED immediately after. And but, you know, I just wanted to learn. You know, I was learning from books, and my parents are actually teachers, everyone in my family. So I was like, I'm kind of saturated. They did not take it well.
I was going to say, how did that go? Okay, all right.
You know, like, I was just saturated. She's sipping her tea. I was saturated in, like, book smarts. And I was like, you know what? I feel like the most important things to learn in life are how to live off the land, like the basic, how to grow food and plants, and how do these things turn up in the grocery store, and just basic human things that I felt like I hadn't ever learned in that city where I went to school. So I kind of went off to,
we're from the same city, me and Makani. I'm sorry, that's so crazy to me.
But yeah, so I went off to learn those things, and this was a really awesome experience for me to take that
life schooling,
take that to the extreme. Like, I, you know, worked on farms and learned certain things, but this was like really throwing me out there in the middle of it all. Can you do it? So I'm really glad I had the opportunity to be tested in that way, because,
well, you know what, if the apocalypse happens, you're gonna outlast us all.
Yeah, right.
Props to you.
What would you say was your biggest takeaway from the situation?
Gratitude. And I think, you know, probably everybody out there would agree. I know Alex has said the same thing. But yeah, when I came off and just I saw the, you know, the bag I had initially brought out that was waiting for me, and I just remember taking out, you know, the different articles of clothing.
Yeah, show us what you brought.
This is what I had out there with me. Obviously, the shirt that I wore. I
can't believe you still have it
all the time. Yeah, it's a little memento.
It's cute,
but. But I just remember, like, taking everything out of my bag and, like, just touching each piece of clothing and being like, wow, you know, like, these are so beautiful. This is so much more than I need. And just a glass of water that was clear and not brown and filled with, it was like, oh, my God, this tastes so, you know, water had never tasted so incredible and fantastic and flavorful, you know, and just every piece of food that wasn't, you know, destroyed, just swarming with bugs and, like, was amazing. And it's just like, yeah, the gratitude that, like, that's why I would do it again a million times over, because, yeah, I mean, the gratitude that I walked away from that with was really profound, you know, like, everything is such a blessing just sitting here talking about it, you know. It's like, yeah, I miss it in that way, because it's there's something so pure
checks you
about that. Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here, you know? Right. we're lucky people, but
let's get in touch, you know, to share with us.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, it seems like you prepared yourself amazingly for it, and it seems like your takeaway is very it's very inspirational, I think, to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the show is. I hope that's something, you know, rather than get so caught up in all the drama.
In the drama, which we love watching.
But, like, I hope at the end of the day the show does, you know, make people feel that sort of gratitude or inspiration for what they have.
Well, we thank you so much for coming and joining us tonight. It was a pleasure being able to watch the show with you and talk after with you about it. Can you let everybody know where they can keep tabs on you and see what you're doing in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so my book's on Amazon.com. You can find that there. And then as far as me, I'm in Venice, but Makani Me is my social stuff to keep up with me, and I'm sure you'll see me around, if not in the next season of The Challenge, Maybe the next season of this, we'll see.
We'll have to keep tabs on that too. So thank you for joining us, and thank you guys for joining us as well. Go ahead and comment below with anything you were, any other questions you want to ask, or anything you want us to talk about next week. And we do have another guest on the show next week, so make sure you stay tuned. And you can follow me on all social media at Abigail Frere, and my lovely co-host over here.
And I'm Olivia Gabbery. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, The Real OG.
I'm Jesse D'Angelo. You guys can catch me on Mondays popping in and out of the Vanderpump Rules after show here on AfterBuzz as well. Same time, 8:10 Pacific. And you can find me everywhere at Jesse J. D'Angelo.
Thanks, guys. Cool. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.